Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to the Sixer Sense podcast. I'm your host, Lucas, with Chris. And Chris, we are recording after the sad, and let's just be straight about it, bummer of a overtime loss to the now Houston Rockets, who are, let's just say what they are. They are a contending team in the Western Conference. But, you know, before we get to that game, we have some other stuff to get to. First off, we are recording the night before Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble. Hope you have a good Thanksgiving. You got any Thanksgiving plans?
I'm going to hang out with the family, have a meal tomorrow.
There you go. Okay, solid, solid. My family's not getting in until the next day, so I'm not going to do anything besides watch football and do dishes.
Hey.
But, hey, you know. There you go. There you go. That being said, let's get into, like, the one thing that made, like, you know, Sixers fandom happy within the past week, which is, of course...
Yeah, so last time we recorded this podcast, the Sixers had two wins. Now they have three, Lucas.
Oh my gosh, yes!
I know, that's a big number. So they beat the Nets, Lucas. We're going to start there, 113-98, third win of the season. This was an NBA Cup game, maybe one of McCain's best games so far. 30 points, 3 assists, hit 6 of 11 from 3, Lucas. 26 for Tyrese. Really, like, the first display of that backcourt at full force, which was a lot of fun. Other than that, you know, not too much to write at home about. Brooklyn, not the best team. Ben Simmons had 2 points in 26 minutes.
Yeah. Can we talk about that missed layup? He had a missed layup, and it looked like he just threw it off the backboard. He just, like, slapped it off the backboard. And I was just like, how do you miss that? How do you miss that? Maybe that's...
You know the answer to that, okay?
It's all between the ears, yes.
Okay, well, I wasn't going to go there. Cam Johnson, 37, 18 for Cam Thomas. Fun fact, I watched this game. I watched the recording of this game. I was watching Gladiator 2 while it happened. And one of my co-workers at FanSided is a Nets fan, and he sent me a message like, you know, you can have Cam Thomas for two firsts, anytime you want.
No, like, we don't need another guard.
Cam Thomas, oh, not Cam Thomas, Cam Johnson. Pardon.
Two firsts? I'll give you a first and like some.
It might have been one sour first.
Yeah.
I was like, no, we'll just take Cooper Flagg. He's like, after such a spirited win, like, my brain just couldn't comprehend the fact that Philly won a game. Yeah, anyways, they did win this game, Lucas. Any big takeaways for you? Good, bad, ugly, player of the game, that kind of thing.
Well, first off, Cam Johnson was definitely auditioning for his next team in this game. Let's be clear on that one. It would take, Kelly, KJ, and some other salary fillers to get to Cam Johnson, who's making like 23 mil. It would not be an easy trade to pull off. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
Dorian Finney-Smith would be the more optimal option. But look, the takeaways from this is that, you know, I think we saw what this backcourt of, you know, and we'll talk about it more later, but the Tyrese came backward. Really fun. Really fun. And I got a good comp here later on to talk to, you know, compare them to. But look, that was a good game. It was interesting. They went with Yabu as the starting center, considering that Drummond, I guess they just didn't want to have Drummond chasing Ben the whole entire game. Not that Ben was really doing much anyway, so. Yeah, I don't know, man. It was a good game. Look, I'm happy. I wish that Eric Gordon didn't play 20 minutes, shooting 1 of 9. That was definitely some of the ugly. Even though, like, not the best shooting percentage from the field, but, like, Reggie Jackson, I hate to say this, but I think he might be better option than Kyle Lowry at this point. Like, in terms of offensive output.
It's not all about points, Lucas.
That's, I know, all, but, like, apparently we need them because we're one of the last in scoring, so, that, you know.
That's a fair point.
No, I mean, like, player of the game here is Jared McCain. 11 of 20, 6 of 11, 30 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. Easy player of the game.
Yeah, no argument there. I mean, look, I think the reason Drummond didn't start in this game is because Yabu's just clearly a much better player at this point. I think it's really matchup-based.
I think it is. I think it is because we saw it in the game tonight, but we'll get to that.
Well, Caleb was hurt tonight, but Gershon also started tonight. Let's talk about the Clippers game first, Lucas. 125-99, Clippers winning in Philadelphia. Not the most fun game I've watched recently. James Harden still looks really good. 23 points, 8 assists in this one. Zubac had 16, 12, and 4 assists. He really picked Philly apart. 18 for Derrick Jones.
Zubac is in the running for most improved player, right? He has that, right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's... I don't really know if
I'm not saying he's like a front runner, but he's in the conversation, right? Because he's averaging.
I don't know,
like,
if he's improved or if he's just has a bigger platform because so many guys are hurt.
You know how the voters vote.
That's true. You know, I doubt he's going to win. I just don't think he's the kind of player. But yeah, he's having a really good year, Lucas. 18 for Jared McCain in this one, though. 3-15 from the field, 4 assists. Not his most efficient night. Got to the free throw line 12 times, though, which is a pretty positive sign. Was a -8 in a game that Kelly Oubre was a -40. So there are positives to gleam there.
I mean, Justin Edwards was a +3. Got to give him credit.
Yeah. And
Ricky Council was a +13.
That's more like it.
Look, don't hate on Justin Edwards just because he's on a two-way.
It's 6 minutes in garbage time. It doesn't
matter. Every little bit counts. Be positive here.
Yeah. Chris. Okay. So look. Andre Drummond came off the bench against a very big, physical, lumbering center. So I think that puts my argument to bed. Gershon got the start, played pretty fine, you know, nothing too special from either of them. But yeah, Lucas, any takeaways from this game other than the Sixers stink?
They just were not ready for this game. I mean... this was a precursor for the breakout rookie game next game. And we just, I mean, player of the game, you know what? I'll give it to the former Sixer James Harden because, like, there was no Sixers that really deserved it this game.
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
James looked pretty much the same as he did 2 years ago. We were all worried about...
He's not an efficient scorer anymore outside of free throw.
We were all worried about how James is going to... I think part of that is just because he's the only guy who can create and score this year. We were all kind of worried about how James would age. If you could pick right now between James Harden and Paul George, let's like put the McCain thing to the side for a little bit. Be like, who's better right now? Who would be better next to Tyrese and Joel? Do you want James or Paul George?
I mean, the question is Paul George healthy? Because I don't think PG has been healthy all season long. I can't make that assessment right now. Ask me in another month or two when he's played more than like 5 games.
Sure. We'll see if he plays more than 5 games.
You know, that's another thing. You know, we'll talk about tanking.
Yeah, here, and both those guys have been hurt a lot. It's really just who's available. But I would say that Philly not wanting to spend the max contract on James Harden only to end up with a 34-year-old who's hurt all the time and hasn't looked very good so far is a little bit ironic and maybe concerning.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. Clippers look really good right now, and James is playing really high-level basketball, and unfortunately for us, I guess. But let's go to the Wednesday night game, Lucas. 122-115, Houston Rockets winning in overtime in Philadelphia. Rockets are 14-6 now. This is their second straight overtime victory on the second night of a back-to-back. That on the road, they were in Minnesota last night, won an OT, travel all the way to Philly, won an OT again. That's I think speaks very highly of that team. Jalen Green had one of his best games ever in his career, 41 points, 7 rebounds, I believe 1 point shy of his career high, 22 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists for Şengün. On Philly side of things, it was the Tyrese Maxey show in the second half, had 11 at halftime, into the game with 39, Lucas, and 10 assists, hit 3 big free throws in the final seconds of the game to tie it and send it to overtime. Not really a very good Jared McCain game, had 15 points on 19 shots, really struggled with decision-making in ways he hasn't much this year. The length and athleticism, I think, of Houston's defense really got to him.
Yeah, that look, they're one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. Look, we don't talk about them because they're not Boston, they're not Orlando, they're not like the sexy team right now, and that's fine, whatever. But they have Torrey Eason and Amon Thompson, who are two elite defenders coming off the bench, plus Dylan Brooks, who didn't play much on McCain. But look, McCain, these last two games, teams are game planning for him now. It's clear. So now, can he figure it out now moving forward? That's the real question. I don't know. He didn't hit a three this game. But that's what every rookie runs into, right? So can he adjust?
It happens. He's playing a much bigger role again than we thought he would at this point. There are going to be growing pains. This was inevitable. It's not, I don't think, reason to panic. Gershon, 43 minutes. We're at the point in the year where Gershon Yabusele is playing 43 minutes. 22 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, hit 4 threes. It was really awesome. He's just like a really good player. I'm glad that's happening. I think we were both optimistic when they signed him, but I think he's probably been better than most people realistically.
Him and McCain have been the only two bright spots in terms of off-season deals so far. Obviously, Maxey's looking like he's back into form now. The beginning of the year, he didn't look right. After he's come back from this injury and got his legs back under him past the injury, I think I have no complaints with Maxey. Even that Clippers game, he didn't look awful. He just didn't shoot that much.
Yeah, and like the thing with Tyrese has always been, he's going to look a lot better when the other two stars are healthy, if they're ever healthy. Like Maxey has never been the most natural number one, so.
And he had 5 steals this game too. Let's not underscore that. Yeah, he's great defensively.
5 steals. Like, this was a really high level, well rounded and gutsy performance. Hit 6 of 12 from 3. Like, it doesn't really get much better than that.
And then the bench. Shout out to KJ having 8 points, 2 blocks, and a steal. That's what you want from him, right? And Ricky, a double-double, 12 points, 10 rebounds.
Yeah. And can a steal and a block, hit 2 threes.
Look, I hate to say this, but... Well, no, I don't hate to say this. I've been wanting to say this. Ricky should be playing... Like, Eric Gordon, I don't want to see you anymore. I don't. No more Eric Gordon for me. No, thank you. You are done.
Well... It seems like Nick Nurse agrees with you based on how this game went. We didn't see Gordon in the second half, really. He played 7 minutes. 27 for Ricky Council.
He was a plus 9 in the game.
That's probably going to flip back around a little bit. I don't know if we're just never going to see Eric Gordon again, but I think we're getting to the point where Ricky Council is going to get some minutes here. So I think that's positive. He's really good. He's like the kind of high-energy advantage creator that this Philly team needs more of, especially with guys hurt. So I'm excited about that. You know how much I love Ricky Council. I've been a big believer. He was in my first round a couple years ago in the draft. So I've always been pretty high on him.
So, by the way, I don't know if I told you this. The other night I was watching the Blue Coats play. Got to see some of those guys play. Lester Quinones, interesting guy. Needs to see him a little bit more, that's for sure. Anyway, but I didn't see them in person, to be clear. I saw them the ESPN Plus. G League teams are on ESPN Plus. Look, you know, no moral victories, but obviously you felt good. You felt a lot like I am bummed that we lost, but am I mad that we lost? No, there's a difference, right? You're bummed because you wish that you could have won the game, but the Sixers did everything that they could have. It's just that the Rockets had their stars. We only had one versus our three normal ones, right? I think it's safe to say if Joel and Paul George were playing in this game, you know, even in a limited role, that I think this game would have been different.
Yeah. Here's like the beautiful thing about the Eastern Conference this season, Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
The Sixers are now 3-14, and they are four games out of the play-in tournament. So
yeah, look, the East
continues to like leave a lot of slack for the Sixers to pick up here down the road.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is nice of them. If the East was remotely competent this year, the Sixers would just be cooked. But it's like historically bad, so we're kind of okay.
Did you hear that there's a scuttlebutt going around that when they expand the NBA, they want to abolish conferences?
Yeah, I can get behind that.
I can't. No. Tradition, like in Fiddler on the Roof. Have you seen the play? Have you seen the movie?
You need to.
You need to watch the movie. It's fantastic. I know. It's on Peacock, I think. Peacock or Prime. It's one of those two.
Yeah, it was on Netflix for a long time, too.
It's a good movie. You need to be cultured. You get cultured, Chris.
I watch a lot of movies. Okay.
I know you do. That's why you need to go back and watch this one. It's culture.
I know. I agree with you.
Tradition.
It's on my like 2000 movie list that I have on Letterboxd. Okay. Let's talk now a little bit, Lucas. We're going to talk about the guards.
Yes. We hinted towards this. The real question is, what is the ceiling of these two? What is the ceiling? Like, if, let's just say McCain plays at that level, Maxey, we know where he is as a player. Where is their ceiling as a combo?
I want to be careful with how I phrase this because I don't want to sound super reactionary. Maxey is obviously a much better player right now and is just like a 1% athlete and just really special. Like we've been talking about, he's really good as the second or third option, attacking closeouts, getting downhill, beating a rotating defense. I think McCain is a much higher feel, kind of high IQ player. I think he just processes the game better than Tyrese. He's not creating advantages quite as
easily. He's not athletic as Tyrese, but I think he's a better playmaker, and I think he has better footwork than Tyrese.
So yeah, that's the thing. I think he's...
He's a better shooter, too.
They both have elite touch. I think McCain has the chance to be as good or better as a shooter, especially like moving around screens and stuff.
Yeah.
Just moves and just knows how to move off the ball more than Tyrese. Like, I think there's a world in which you could argue that McCain's ceiling is higher.
I think so. No, look, I'm actually in agreement there. I think that his ceiling is higher.
I don't want to overreact too much to like an 8-game sample size, but like if what we've seen from McCain is real and you keep following this arc, which is a huge if, it's not.
Yeah, it's a big if. Yeah.
Maxey's a top 30-40 player in the league. Like, I get it. This is like putting a lot on McCain's shoulders. I don't want to like coordinate him too soon, but I think there's a world where you could argue that McCain has a higher ceiling. We'll see. I think they both.
So that means that you see McCain as ceiling like a number one then?
I don't know about that, but I could see him being a better number two or three.
Okay.
I'm not convinced he's going to get there, but
he might not.
I do think they're really complimentary of Joel and of Joel, really. Like both of them together. I think those are really the perfect guards offensively to put next to Joel. Paul George is a great fit too. We'll see if we end up with like Paul George as the fourth option for half of this max contract.
Look, I'm okay with that. Look, he's a better defensive and better shooting version of Tobias Harris. I can deal with it.
I don't want any version of Tobias Harris involved with this team. That's
fair
not
enough.
A good outcome. If fair we're comparing enough. Him to Tobias, something's gone wrong. Which means it probably already has.
So, is there a comp of either a current or former guard tandem that you can, like, where you can see these guys at?
Because
I have
one. I'm not great at that stuff. I think, yeah, I'll let you say yours.
Okay. I'm... Now, I want to preface that I think Maxi's a better shooter than the player that I'm going to compare him to in this combo. But I could see them as a John Wall, Bradley Beal type combo, where they're good defensively. Maxi's the quick athletic guard. He's just quick twitch, all that. And then McCain's more of the Bradley Beal, like volume score, you know, high IQ type thing. And look, I think, you know, McCain, different player than Beal, and obviously Maxi's different, but as a duo, they got their team to the Eastern Conference semifinals, but, you know, without much help on that roster. I mean, they were deep, but they weren't like, you get what I'm saying?
I think John Wall is much more of a point guard than Tyrese.
Like, well, yeah, no, John Wall is much more of a playmaker. Let's be clear.
I think that's why that team worked so well. So I think that's like a key difference.
Yeah, I mean, McCain's the better playmaker in my mind here, but like, do you get the similarities? And by the way,
I do.
By the way, NBA Now and Then, another podcast that I'm on, we actually just recorded a John Wall and Tyrese Maxey episode that will be releasing later this year. Make sure you guys check that out. Sorry, I had to do the plug. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I don't hate that comp. But like, I don't think this is going to be a CJ McCollum, Dame Lillard thing, because I think they're better defensively than those two are.
Yeah, that might be a better comparison, like stylistically, offensively, honestly. Like
maybe
I think
offensively, but like defensively, they're much better.
I think there's some pretty real parallels between McCain and McCollum. I don't know. Maybe it's like somewhere in the middle there. Again, both those are very optimistic outcomes. Like if McCain and Maxey are Dame and McCollum, that's like amazing. That would be a great. They aren't that great on defense. Even if they are that bad on defense, like if they're as good offensively as Dame and McCollum, the Sixers might actually do something here. So,
you know, another small guard backcourt currently in the NBA is Garland and Mitchell. I don't know if that's really a fair comp. I don't really see it there.
Yeah.
But they are a small tandem that are currently in the NBA. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like good evidence that you can win with small guards.
Yeah.
If nothing else.
And like we said, like, I think Maxey, you saw tonight with the athleticism on the block. McCain's a good, you know, one-on-one defender. Like, he's not going to get beat. Now, is he small? Yes, but we can deal with that. You know, I don't know. But, like, I guess my thing is, and this, we kind of already touched on this, do you think they can hold up defensively?
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I mean, look, I think they're always going to be a weak point in the defense. Do I think Philly can win at a high level with Jared McCain and Tyrese Maxey starting? Yes. I think the offense will largely counterbalance the defense. We'll like
especially,
see what happens.
Especially if Joel can get back to his defensive ace days, right?
Yeah, especially, like, I think Paul George is going to be an important part of that equation, too. Like, he needs to defend well. They need Caleb to defend on a high level. Like, when this starting lineup is healthy and fully realized, or if they replace Caleb with Gershon, which might be the move these days.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's sidebar here. Because Gershon looked really good as a starting power forward versus center in this game. Do you think Gershon should be the full-time starting power forward and have Caleb come off the bench? I say yes.
I think there's an argument. I think Caleb probably deserves some time to like settle into a rhythm. I have a feeling he's going to look better as the season goes on. I think it's just been kind of a rough start for him. That kind of thing happens.
Well, I'm not saying that Caleb can't play power forward, but Gershon playing power forward, starting up power forward, it addresses some of the rebounding issues that we're having.
I think Gershon is, like you're saying, a better fifth guy with that four-man group that we just talked about than Caleb. I think Caleb being a little bit more of a gunner off the bench makes sense. Caleb is a good defender, but Gershon has size and rebounds and is like a really good connective passer in a way that Caleb is not. So yeah, I think it's pretty clear that Yabu is like the fifth best player on this team. Like that just is what it is right now. So I would not mind starting him.
Yeah, I don't think so either. The question is now, will Nick Nurse pull the trigger? He's very slow to make changes. We've seen that. Hopefully, you know, because like Caleb didn't play tonight. We saw more Drummond minutes like you alluded to. We saw more Ricky Council minutes. Like, tell me if everybody was healthy. Would Ricky even be playing? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. Hopefully now, though, that he's gotten a chance to do something that is not the case and he does play.
I think he did pretty good. I think the only like thing that you could say bad was that he fouled Şengün in overtime on that shot. But like,
yeah, I mean,
most people would have done that.
I will say that I continue to really not dig the Kelly Oubre experience this season. It's been rough.
Well, you know, if you pair him with KJ, that's about $16 million worth in salary.
Yeah, I gladly make it happen.
Buffer.
Yeah.
That's another podcast, another time.
I think Ricky, in another world where he's getting minutes on, like, the Brooklyn Nets or whatever, is maybe better than Kelly. I feel like that's where this is going. It, you know, Kelly had a really good year last year. He's going to look better if when everyone is healthy, if that ever happens again. But
yeah, he needs to be a gunner off the bench.
Yeah. I don't even know if he needs to be a gunner. I think he really needs to just chillax a little bit, but I wouldn't mind Ricky Council a little bit more.
No more Eric Gordon, you know. Let's play Kyle Lowry or Reggie Jackson, whoever's hot that night. That's who I think. Rotate them, you know, let them get like 5-game stretches, not to tire themselves out too much. Gotta let the old guys breathe, right? You know, let them be the third guard and just let them get like play like 18 to 20 minutes a game. You know, I think that should be their max. You know, just like, let's not push the old guys. Eric Gordon, no more, you know, like break glass in case of emergency. I mean, that's pretty much it. Let's go to the big fellow, right? That's you, my friend.
We got to talk about Joel some more, unfortunately. Has not played the last few games as he manages this left knee injury that we don't know anything about.
But apparently the Sixers knew about it before they signed him, right?
So I don't think that is exactly true. I guess it is true. The report, Lucas, today from
Ramona.
Was it Ramona? Yeah.
Yeah, it was Ramona Shelburne of ESPN.
Ramona Shelburne, ESPN. Basically is that the Sixers and Joel Embiid consulted half a dozen doctors before the season, and they were convinced that they could manage Joel's knee with regular scheduled rest and different operations that promoted, you know,
healing,
his health and stability. Yeah. And that's what led them to a 3-year, $194 million extension that makes Joel one of the highest paid players in the NBA ever.
Yes.
Look, I think we both know that they like had to extend Joel. He's the second best player in the world, has been for half a decade plus now. Like, you can't not extend Joel. We all know that these injuries continue to happen and have been a problem. Obviously, it's been more prominent this season, and there's maybe been a negative turn with that left knee, and we'll see if it ever where it goes from here. We can't tell the future, unfortunately, mm-hmm. but How are you feeling about that, Lucas? This has kind of been the season from you know what, and like a lot of Kawhi Leonard vibes from where Joel's at right now. So
Kawhi Leonard, Zion Williamson, Grant Hill, whoever you, Brandon yeah. Roy, whoever you want to compare it to.
I think the best way to frame this is like, do you think we're going to regret that 3-year extension for Joel?
Look, before I make any look, this season we knew that he was not going to be if he's not healthy for the rest of the season, like that's that. But like how he bounced back the next season is what I'm concerned about. Like, can he bounce back after this season? If he can, great. If not, it's an albatross contract. It's worse than the Zach LaVine contract. By the way, Zach LaVine contract doesn't look half bad now.
Yeah, like, so here's the thing is, before the season, all like the PR machine behind Philly was pumping out is that Joel was in the best shape of his life. They're going to be super careful. All he cares about is health. He doesn't care about MVP, none of that. He's going to rest. He's going to work hard. He's in great shape. He's lost weight, played at the Olympics, yada, yada, yada. Here we are. He's played 4 games in 17 Philly appearances so far. This knee injury has clearly been bugging him for a long time. Sixers still aren't able to provide any real clarity on when he's going to play, how long he's going to play, what the plan is moving forward. Nick Nurse today pretty much was like, we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. They need to test it out and see how it responds, I believe was the wording he used, which is just not
very good.
Not very, doesn't make me feel good. Yeah, I don't want to like get ahead of ourselves and say it's the next like Kawhi, Zion, Grant Hill thing, but like Joel again has been the second best player in the world for years now, and all the postseason stuff aside, he's been like a dominant regular season force, and he's carried Philly to the playoffs multiple times now. Like,
so
we need to see how this season goes and how the knee responds, if it ever gets to respond, but. It's not ideal. You had to give him that contract. You can't jump ship now. You're not going to trade him all his value.
Well, he had 2 years left, so you didn't have to give it this year. Let's be clear. You didn't have to.
I think you do that kind of thing when the second best player in the world wants to sign an extension. You cater to your star.
I suppose.
You know, it just is what it is. It was always going to be a risk. Everything Philly has done during the Embiid era has been a calculated risk. So we'll see what happens.
I'm going to say a few things, and I know one of these things is going to trigger Sixers fans, and I apologize in advance. But let's rewind to the initial knee injury, right? He was playing on it that he probably shouldn't have, right? Because there's a few games before the actual meniscus tear, he was hobbled, right? It looked like he had sprained his knee. Right, but he was playing through it, right? Trying to get that second MVP. That happens. Now there's two ways to repair a meniscus. Are you familiar with both of those? Okay, for our listeners that are not, there are two ways that you can repair it. You can sew it back together, and which is like basically he would have been done for the season. Or you can cut off a part of it and just move along. Now And that was the one that he chose, and he was able to come back towards the end of the season. Now, there are cons to cutting off the ripped edge. Now, Chris, I'm sure you're aware of at this point. The cons is that it doesn't provide nearly stability, and it's a short-term fix. And it can cause long-term problems like arthritis and swelling and other stuff. Now, I don't know if he has arthritis, but clearly the swelling has already started, right? So, there's that. And, you know, this is not the first time the Philadelphia 76ers fans have been waiting on a big man to return from knee injury. And I hate to say this, you're shaking your head no. And he is violently shaking his head no, folks. But I'm not going to say the name, but if this continues, I think you all know where the name that will eventually be mentioned.
Coward. So
you were telling me no. You want me to say it? Fine. Andrew Bynum. There, I
wow.
said.
Wow,
I know, I'm the worst.
You're the
no,
worst.
Like,
okay.
And hopefully we're not getting to that point. But if the knee does not respond, He's a big guy. He is a very big guy. It could be a problem.
Look, we are not doctors.
No,
although
we're not.
I feel like a doctor after being a Sixer fan for as long as I've been.
Well,
a Sixer
I
fan.
Had the knee procedures that Joel has had. So.
Yeah, okay. No. I'm just saying we don't actually have like the knee scans or anything.
No,
but,
we don't.
Like, how long until we just get the Embiid's done for the season with a knee surgery?
I think that's where we're. Look, like I said, I'm not like Joel. I'm not thinking about. And you know, I guess this comes to the idea of. Should the Sixers ever trade Joel? I'm not there yet. I say you wait until next year to see how he looks next year. Because this year feels like a wash already.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you don't want to hold on too long. But, like, also,
you kind of got
now he's already kind of plummeting. Like, you don't want to, you know, you might just be stuck with him. And I hate saying that. Like again, you don't want to trade Joel. He's the second best player in the world when he's right. Like, you got to see this through and. Hopefully we get to the.
I say you give it at least 2 years. Give it 2 years and see where you're at.
Give it a shot. It's Joel freaking Embiid. He's done like all the Joel quotes lately have been kind of upsetting and annoying, and he needs to just stop talking. But
was he at the game tonight?
Like
I saw PG and I saw Kyle.
He doesn't go to games. I wish he would go to games when he's not playing and like be on the bench.
Yeah,
I wish just the optics would be nice, but. I will say the idea that he has said this many times is like, this is what he said about the Marcus Hayes thing too. Is like, I've done too much for this city to be treated a certain way. It's true. He has done a lot for this team. He's been through a whole lot since he's gotten to Philly. Like that's, it's frustrating right now, but.
I hope they give him the same type of love that they gave Tyrese Maxey this past summer with that little like museum walkthrough enshrinement thing. For most improved player.
Yeah, look, Joel should, like
Joel, well, let's just say, Joel's jersey should be retired when he's
21
done.
Is going to be, like, in the Raptors at some point.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be.
He's, like, a legend. He's already a Hall of Famer. We'll see if he can get healthy and do something in the playoffs. That would be the cherry on top. But
it's right kind now, of a, like, I think we both would be okay, like, if we didn't see him until, like, I say January. Let him get right. Give him that time.
I don't know. It like depends on what happens. If he's out till January, we might as well like start doing our Cooper Flagg episodes. I mean, look.
I enjoyed back during the process when me and you first started. Look, those were some fun times.
No, look, that's like my that's my zone.
That's
ready.
Your wheelhouse, man.
I've been waiting, but
you know what? You know what would stink if we. We're like third in like total record at the end of the season, and then the lottery balls kicked us to seventh. Because you know what happens then.
Yeah, that's what'll happen.
What would happen.
You know that's what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, oh gosh, you chose that for your around the... Well, okay, before we go to around the league, real quick. With almost only like Yabu and McCain working out this offseason, is Morey on the hot seat yet?
No, Daryl Morey is very good at his job. Let's be clear. If anyone is not on the hot seat, it's Daryl Morey. I like go through the moves that happened this summer and tell me what he did wrong. Like you have to make the Paul George signing. We knew this was a calculated risk. We just talked about the Joel signing. You had to do those. Like you had to take the plunge. We can argue if like he should have kept James.
Reggie Jackson, like, Eric Gordon.
Reggie Jackson and Eric Gordon are veteran minimum contracts. Those are fine.
You could have gotten somebody.
Kelly Oubre, that's $8 million that couldn't have gone to anyone else. That's a tradable contract. Same with KJ. Caleb, like we all thought Caleb was good. Like if Caleb just isn't good now and is shooting 35%, that's a freak development that we have to work around. But
we all thought Drummond was a good pickup. I mean, Drummond's has been looking better the last couple weeks. He looked great in this game.
So yeah, look, Yabu is a good backup center. So they have the alternative to Drummond already.
And Bono, like, I don't hate him.
He's hit on Tyrese. He's hit on McCain now. Like, the draft stuff has been pretty much A pluses across the board with Daryl, more or less, without like with the possible exception of Jaden Springer, who I still believe in.
He's still not playing for the Celtics.
It's the Celtics. What is he going to do? Send him to, like, Brooklyn or something, and we'll really be cooking with gas. I think Daryl Morey is really good at his job. Is he, like, the greatest GM in the world? Has the league caught up to him a little bit? Maybe. He's not maybe as far ahead of the curve as he was in his Houston heyday, but, like, a lot of Philly's issues, I think, are Nick Nurse-related and injury-related and Joel Embiid.
Well, Philly's also the one of the shortest teams and one of the oldest teams in the NBA. That is not a Nick Nurse.
It's not. But again, you're trying to win a championship right now. That's how you've built the roster. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I can't look at what Daryl Morey did this offseason and really poke a ton of holes in it. The stuff that's happened has been outside of his control. It was a calculated risk, and if you want to say they should have played it safe and not gone after Paul George, gone after a couple role players, and just not been as much of a high-ceiling team, that's fine. But I respect the ambition. I think Daryl Morey knows what he's doing. Like, I want him to be the guy who rebuilds this team if it gets to that point. So I'm not firing Daryl Morey if it's me.
Well, I guess he has done a rebuild before, but he walked into that. That was with Houston post McGrady and
Yao. Look, who mentored Sam Hinkie?
Yes, we know. Okay, but Daryl's not going to be as robust. Okay, anyway, let's just move on. Speaking of Sam Hinkie, the process, all that. Let's go to around the NBA because you, not me, you want to talk about Ben Simmons?
Yeah.
What are we talking about Ben for? Why are we talking about Ben?
Well, speaking of the Ramona Shelburne report, this is a quote directly from the report.
Okay,
this was talking, of course, about the recent game in which Brooklyn visited Philadelphia. Not Ben's best performance, not his first game back in Philadelphia. There was a lot kind of hanging over it this time, so we didn't really focus on the fact that he was back in Philly. But here's the direct
quote.
Did.
The fans were definitely booing him.
Well, yeah, of course. But yeah. Here's what she wrote. Quote, but so much has gone wrong for Simmons and his former team in the years that they've been apart that Simmons' presence back in Philadelphia barely registered this time. And then, quote, she said, Simmons even reached out to Embiid and others last summer, league sources said, hoping to mend fences. I think that's like first, like, nice. I hope.
Too late, but okay.
It's a big step. You got to admit when you've done something wrong.
Growth. Yeah. Personal growth.
A lot of, like, I think this has mostly been, like, winking, joking speculation, but Ben is on an expiring contract that they're probably not going to be able to trade. The Nets are not a very good team.
I already know what you're about to say. You're going to say that they're going to buy him out and the Sixers should sign him. Is that what you're about to say?
I'm not going
to
say should. I'm just saying there's a world in which he gets bought out. And I'm just going to read a quote from Ben a while back. This was like a year or two ago.
I know which quote you're going to talk about if he wants to.
Okay, well,
else
I'm going to read it. So
Go. Fine. Say it. Say it for quote, the crowd.
Obviously, the injury and everything that was going on didn't help, but I think it gave me a chance to really appreciate it, it being Philly. I'll always have love for Philly. People always ask me, like, if you were to get traded again, where would you want it to be? And I always say just Philly. Philly is a second home to me. And in time, you learn and grow as people. I don't really have anything bad to say about Philly. It was a crazy situation at the end, but it is what it is. A classic Ben Simmons-ism. It is what it is.
So I have bad news.
I'm just saying, there's a world.
No, it can't happen.
This is such a Daryl Morey move to take, like, the former All-Star who just got bought out and is still 28 and might have some sort of semi-upside. Like, throw all the baggage away. This is, like, a total Daryl Morey move to sign Ben Simmons as a buyout candidate.
So you ready, like, for me to bust your bubble? You ready for it?
Don't.
Too bad. It's happening. Because we're a first apron team, we can't sign anybody who got bowed out for over $12 million.
Well, free agency, baby.
Okay. Next
summer.
Look, does the idea of Simmons actually work for the Sixers? He's a point center at this point, right?
He does.
Point,
like, center. Not really, but...
Like, look, if Ben... Let's just say we get Ben Simmons prior to the Atlanta series. Let's just say that magical thing happens. Does he fit with Tyrese?
Yeah, well, then, yes. Like, of course he does. He's an all-star.
It wouldn't make Joel get out of the paint, which would actually be nice for Joel.
Yeah, what do you like? McCain and Maxey and George are all like elite shooters. Joel can space.
Don't
like,
talk me into this, dude. I don't want to.
You're
part
not
going to
get the bin from before the Atlanta series is the thing.
No,
the thing is
but, okay because this bin looks horrific.
He's not going to score at the rim. Like it's an issue. I don't think he's good.
He's only scored double digits once this season on 8 shots. That was his.
I would not do it. I just don't want to touch that. It just feels rotten. But I think there is a world. I don't think it's like impossible. It's like
it won't happen until this summer. It won't happen until this summer. To be clear, it cannot happen during the season because of the first apron rules. Bobby Marks, actually somebody tweeted that to tonight, and Bobby Marks, ESPN, responded to it saying that it can't happen. So I trust Bobby on that one.
See,
Bobby
the
knows.
New CBA is just sucking the fun out of the NBA.
Okay. Yeah, it is a little bit.
No, but
I don't like this soft, hard cap. It's not fun.
The aprons, I don't want to think about aprons. Why are we doing this? That's just math that I don't want to do. But, you know, it's a thought.
It's a thought for sure.
I like that Ben like just really loves Philly. Apparently, that's kind of a nice thought.
It's interesting.
After all that crap.
Well, it's the only place that he had real success, right? So, like, why not? You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you know, let's change the subject here. We're gonna go to the Orlando Magic here, and I'm gonna describe a team, and you tell me who I'm talking about here. You get two defensive guards, essentially high-level 3-and-D guys who can go off scoring every once in a while. You have two versatile forwards who can carry a team offensively any given night. And you have a stretch big who's solid defensively. Who am I talking about?
The Orlando Magic.
Who else could I be talking about? Boston Celtics,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
My point being here, I know there's some holes that you can poke in that logic. That's fine. But my point here is that Orlando is trying to do a very similar thing that Boston has done. And I think it's working for them. They're third in the East without their best player. Right? So, look, I think Orlando's figured it out. Now, obviously, Jalen Suggs and an old KCP is not the same as Drew Holiday and Derek White. Let's be clear on that. But
yeah, they're like a knockoff Boston.
They're a knockoff Boston, but it makes them fun, right? Makes them fun. I think they need a upgrade at center. Like Wendell Carter, I do not think I don't see him being a starting center on a lot of like. He's okay. He's good. He's just not like. Could I find somebody? I would like to have somebody better than Wendell Carter if I'm competing for a championship. I mean, each center does their own thing. Like Wendell's is a all around good center, but not great center. And then you have Mo Wagner, who's just like that stretch three that goes crazy, and stretch five that goes crazy. And then you have Goga. I don't even want to try to pronounce his last name.
Batadze,
thank you. Who's just like a bruiser. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Marcin Gortat in some ways, right? So like you have like three options, and they're good.
And John Isaac can play the five sometimes.
Yeah, but that's like weird, and that's like if you play against a team that likes to go small, right?
We've been playing Gershon at five.
Yeah, I know. I've already voiced my displeasure about that.
It's worked. It's going well.
My point being, is that I think the missing piece for them is because they have the bench. Look, Anthony Black is going to be their long term shooting guard, right? Next to him and I like him. And Suggs, they just need to be better 3-point shooters, right? Like that's the missing thing for them, right? They're not going to be like elite scorers, but like they can mimic what Drew and White do, right? So like, and like obviously Franz and Paolo are completely different types of players than Tatum and Brown, you know, but they do like they're really good forwards, so like, you know, they're go-to guys. Well, okay, maybe Franz isn't,
Franz has been playing like it. Like,
I mean,
Franz is going off right now. I remember someone before the season, like, kind of being a little bit cold on Franz.
Well, he had a really bad second year. Forgive me if I was a little cold, okay?
You know, if Franz doesn't play better, they're going to really regret that contract.
And I'm glad that they're not. But my point being here is that they need to upgrade at center, and Anthony Black needs to become a better three-point shooter. That's my main thing here. And then they're like Boston Light.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think it would be very hard for them to upgrade at center if the right piece became available.
They have their picks.
Yeah, I don't know who that's going to be. There aren't a lot of, like, centers that are just readily available right now that are better than Wendell Carter. But, like, I think Wendell Carter's pretty good.
He's just good, though. He's not, like, he's like if Al Horford never reached his potential.
Yeah, I think the missing piece would be more someone in, like, they need, like, a maxi more than a like, star big man, I would say.
But, like, but no, they have their guard combo of the have, future and they Suggs have very and good, Black.
Yeah, but none of those guys are the scorers that they need. They need a guard who
Suggs can go off on any given night, and we haven't seen too much scoring from Black yet. But Suggs has had his nights where he's gone off, okay? Let's not act like he can't go off.
He has. He's not like a self-creator go-to scorer.
And they have Cole Anthony off the bench if you want to get frisky. Just saying.
Cole Anthony's not that guy.
Cole Anthony's like Peyton Pritchard light, okay? Just like with like a receding dreadlock line. But anyway.
That's fine. Orlando's very good. Orlando's a great defense. Franz and Paolo are like taking the leap.
Yeah.
They're going to be really good for a long time. They're like
the question is, can Franz keep up this production when Paolo gets back mid-December? By the sounds of it, we'll see.
I mean, he's not going to score as much because Paolo's going to be back. But
if he can score around like 22, 23 and still keep up the assist numbers,
I don't think any of this is fluky. I think Franz is the real deal. He's been the real, it's that astronaut meme, like has been all along. Like Franz has been this good all along, okay?
Well, then what was last year?
It was a bad shooting year. People get better. They improve their shots.
Hopefully. We'll see.
It's third year. You know, give them some time.
Okay. Well, regardless, look, the Orlando Magic, they're going to be a problem for a long time.
Franz was their best player last year. For all this, he was bad or whatever. Franz was like
their best player. No, Paolo was definitely their best player.
Franz was their most impactful player last year. Franz's defense is so far ahead of Paolo's. It's not even funny.
We're not even... Okay. But like, who would you want the ball in the hands at the last like 10 seconds of the game?
That's it's not Paolo. How you judge best player.
I mean,
Cam Thomas is not better than Cam Johnson. I'd want Cam Thomas taking the last shot if I'm the Brooklyn Nets. That doesn't mean he's better than Cam Johnson. Okay.
Right? I think we're just going to agree to disagree on this one.
Am I wrong?
I think Cam Thomas is a problem, and it's a shame that he
is a problem.
Not a bad problem though.
Maybe that's, like, not the right example. Who would you say is...
This goes back into our argument a few years back of who was better at the time, Alex Caruso or Tobias Harris.
Yeah, it was Caruso.
Obviously, it's Caruso now. Yeah. He's not shooting that well this year, though.
Always has been.
All right. Well, you know, this is a conversation that me and you will probably return to a lot throughout this season, for sure. Any other things real quick? I'm looking at the games that are playing right now. Is there anything good? Anything fun to talk about here? Orlando beat Chicago. I've noticed that Robert Sarr is starting to pick up his scoring a little bit.
Yeah. Hawks beat the Cavs. 22 assists for Trae Young.
Really?
That's nice.
Speaking of high assists, former Sixer had 21 assists. Shout out to Alfred Payton. Got himself a job. I've always been a fan. It stinks that he can't shoot threes, or else he might have been like an all-star. He's like Russell Westbrook light. That's what I'm going to start referring to, like players that are not as good, but they're similar comps. They're just light versions of that player.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. It was a cool game for him.
Do you think he's going to stay in the league, or do you think as soon as they get healthy, he's gone?
He's not going to play once they get healthy, but that's okay. Maybe he'll get another contract somewhere else. We'll see.
Maybe he should come to the Sixers. Full circle. full circle look, Chris. Why not?
Do we need Alfred Payne right now? I don't know.
Well, we need something.
That's true. We do need something. Ben Simmons, 14 points.
That would be a fun poll question. If you're the Sixers, who would you rather, which former point guard do you want to have come back, Alfred Payton or Ben Simmons? That would actually be a really fun poll question.
Ben would give us more to talk about.
Ben would give us more to talk about, but I'm pretty sure almost every Sixers fan would rather pout Alfred Payton.
Yeah, it's like, no one wants Ben back, but it would be more interesting than Alfred Payton. I mean, for sure.
Theoretically.
If we're just going to be miserable all the time, let's at least be interesting. That's what I say.
But the thing is, Ben would take the ball out of Maxey and McCain's hands, though.
So would Alfred Payton.
Alfred Payton wouldn't be playing next to them, though. He would be backup.
Are you going to put the ball in Ben's hands over Tyrese and Jared McCain? And Ben's going to play power forward. And he's going to be the backup point guard.
I don't know, man. That game was really ugly. I did not like what I saw from Ben. He was timid. He was scared. All that stuff.
Let's wrap it up, dude.
To
quote Ben Simmons, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah. As always, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of the Sixer Sense podcast. We are on Twitter or X at Sixer Sense. You can follow me at KleinNBA. You can follow Lucas at Coach_J20. Or is it Coach_J_20?
It's on the screen, dude.
I can't see it on the screen, though.
Coach_J_20.
Coach J. Oh, there it is. Coach_J_20, as I said the first time. Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter. You can read a lot of Sixers content at thesixersense.com. And we will be back soon. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Please like, subscribe, and follow along if you can on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And we will talk to you soon. Hopefully, you'll have 4 wins when we talk to you next. Who knows? It's an exciting time.
I might not be here next time, though, but yes.
I'll be here. Someone will be here.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you soon. Bye, guys.
Deuces.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.